26th episode of the CrackerCast podcast. This is David from MrCracker.com, and it is December 1st of 2010. Okay, let's see. Today was the first time it snowed here in Chicago. That was nice, except it's really cold outside. Gotta get out the winter jackets, finally. But I hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I sure did. Ate a lot, enough for 3 days. But now I'm back in school, getting ready for finals, not looking forward to that. But otherwise, getting back on track with the podcast as well. It's been a while. So let's get straight into the news. I don't have many articles this week, but the first one is Hacking Culture's Dramatic Rise in India. And this article is all about how the hacking culture is really rising in India, and how just hacking in general is being rising as a topic in India, and it's getting a lot of interest in India. And I see this to be true as well with my website, because I'm looking at the traffic to my website. The majority of it comes from the United States and India, and then some from Australia, but otherwise it's mostly India and the United States. Also, a lot of my customers as well come from India, so I'm seeing that with my website as well. So yeah, up and coming hacking culture in India. Good to hear. Alright, next up we have nearly one-third of all malware created in 2010. Now this is a really interesting article, because they're saying that, well, this is Panda Security, they run that antivirus software, Panda. And they're saying that one-third of all malware was created this year in 2010. And that already to date, there has been more malware created than in all of 2009. But then again, that's not much, because it's already December, so the year's almost over. And they're saying that the reason for this really, this increase in the amount of malware being created, the new types of malware, is because the average life cycle of a typical threat of a malware is really being shortened. And what I mean by life cycle being shortened is that from the day that it comes out, by the time that these antivirus companies have a fix for this malware, they're saying that that's about 24 hours in some cases. So as soon as some malware comes out, within a day, they have some defensive stuff for it to catch it and mitigate that threat. So because of this, it seems like that the malware creators are being forced to, turn out new variants of different types of malware a lot faster to be able to infect machines as good. Alright, next we have London hacker who posed as student gets suspended sentence. So this is kind of funny. This guy, Daniel Wu, installed password capturing software, which led to fraud. And he did it in the University of London. And basically what happened was he just installed some sniffing tools on the computers of the students, and he just sniffed a bunch of user accounts, and including some financial information and stuff. But he's being charged 25,000 euros, and he's getting 36 weeks in prison. And the funny thing is, the way he got caught was literally the IT guys walking in the room, and he was just standing there installing this malware on their computers. Kind of a retarded way to get caught. So basically, he wasn't a student, but he was posing as a student and getting in the building and then physically accessing those computers and installing these sniffers on him, which is kind of stupid. He should have just improved his skill and done it remotely. Too late now. And lastly, for this week we have hacker manages to issue a tsunami warning. This is another funny article. So this hacker managed to hack a Twitter account of the Indonesian disaster management advisor, and then he went ahead and tweeted a tweet that said that there was a tsunami warning. And I believe he wrote, here it is, he wrote, "Jakarta tsunami tomorrow." So probably a lot of people panicked, went out and bought a bunch of supplies, but otherwise he ended up getting back the Twitter account, and it's all good now. So that's it for this week's news. Let's get straight into the main topic. So this week's main topic is about proxies. Now, when hackers go out there and do malicious things, crackers, they don't want to be tracked down. And the easiest way to track someone down on the internet is via their IP address, because at that moment, they are literally the only ones in the world that have that IP address. Unless, of course, you're sharing a network with a couple other people. But If your IP address is out there, then someone can literally track you down to the ISP that you use, down to your town, and then right to your computer. So it's not a good thing to, you know, have your IP address out there when you're doing hacker-related things. So what do these hackers do, these malicious hackers? Well, they use proxies. And what a proxy does, in simple terms, is literally just mask your IP address by acting like as a mediator. So basically, when you use a proxy, let's say you keep it simple, when you're using one proxy, what happens is when you want to visit a website, what happens first is you first send the traffic to this proxy. Then this proxy, this middleman, forwards that data, you know, tunnels that data to the destination website that you want to reach. So what this destination machine, what this website sees, is that there's traffic coming from the proxy server and not from your actual computer, your IP address. So that's what a proxy is, in very simple terms. So we'll look at a few different types of proxies. And the first one is a web proxy. Now these are the most common. You can literally go to google.com and just put in web proxy and you'll find thousands of options out there. And they're usually run on CGI or PHP. You might find some other web programming languages that they're run on. But most commonly it's PHP and CGI. Now, they work right from your web browser, so you just put it up, like bring it up just like any other web page, and then you'll see a little form asking you to put in the website you wish to visit and to mask your IP address too. And you just click submit. When you click submit, the script just modifies and manipulates the whole web page and all its objects and elements so that it looks like it's coming from somewhere else, that actual server that you went to first, the proxy server. Now, these aren't the best choices to use because it's been proven that a lot of these proxy scripts aren't that great and actually can still show where the traffic is coming from. And they're sometimes very slow. An example of this web proxy would be hidemyass.com. It's one of the popular ones. So go ahead there and you'll see what I'm talking about. Alright, another type of proxy is the open proxy. And open proxies are HTTP or SOX type proxy servers, and a lot of times they are left on open on purpose, and other times the actual person who owns that server isn't aware that there's a proxy server open up on his server that people are using. A lot of times it's because that server was compromised and the attacker opened it up as a proxy server. But basically, to use an open proxy, you have to configure your browser on proxy settings to use an open proxy. And the way it's done is actually very simple. All you do is go to your tools, your options, you go to your network settings in your browser, and just find your proxy settings, and then just paste in an IP address of that proxy server and the port that the proxy is run on that server. And then click OK, and from now on, everything you do on the internet through that browser will be going tunneling through that proxy server. And the great thing about open proxies that's better than web proxies is that they're usually compatible with almost all web pages because they don't have to modify any of the requested pages to keep you anonymous like the web proxies do. So they're a better option in that case. But they do have a lot of downsides. Basically, they found that a lot of these open proxies are run by government organizations for research purposes and to see what people are doing. Also, a lot of these are compromised machines, so they're being used for malicious purposes. Everything you might be doing on that proxy can be tracked and can be sniffed, and everything maybe if you log into a web page, you know, you're pretty much screwed because they just stole all your details. But if you're just simply using it to bypass some sort of filter that doesn't allow you to go to certain web pages, then, you know, it's not a problem. Also, a lot of times these open proxies are just honeypots, which are just used to log everything that you do on that through that proxy and used for research purposes. So, yes, a lot of times you'll see that open proxies give you absolutely no privacy, but yes, they do their job and they allow you to mask where you're coming from. And the third proxy type that we'll look at is proxy networks. An example of proxy networks are Freenet, I2P, JAP, Tor. Tor is a popular one nowadays. And it offers a layered encryption and peer-to-peer networking. So basically, what layered encryption is just that you can go through many different proxies before you reach the destination. So what this means is that it just adds on a few more layers of security, because now instead of going through one proxy and then going to your destination. Now, you're going through that proxy, maybe another proxy, maybe even a third proxy, and then to the destination machine. So what the destination machine sees traffic coming from is that third proxy. And if someone wanted to, you know, backtrack and figure out who was this person that was at this website, he'd go back another layer, and bam, still at a proxy server, and goes back again, and bam, he's still at a proxy server, and he doesn't have your IP address and details. So that's a proxy network. The thing with proxy networks is that none of the hardware is controlled by, you know, that actual proxy network, whoever runs that proxy network. And the network is basically run by people like you and me, and just people who just want to donate their bandwidth to run, you know, different nodes, different parts of this network. So what does this mean? It means that there could be a lot of malicious users out there who literally put up their service, their bandwidth, for the sole purpose of just stealing your information. So if, you know, if you visit websites and you log in to different websites, you know, they can possibly, it's not possible, they can sniff and get all your traffic and figure out what these passwords are that you're using. So once again, not completely safe and secure, but it will do the job of covering up where you're coming from. Which is, you know, the sole purpose of a proxy. And there have been cases, I know, a few years ago, where there was a huge thing, a bunch of news articles on Tor that showed that some guy was, you know, doing just that. He was being that middleman that would steal everyone's information. And he was able to get a lot of secrets, I believe, a lot of confidential stuff, I believe even for some government stuff, which I don't know why they'd be using Tor. But yeah, so those are the three types, the web proxies, the open proxies, for your browsers, HTTP and SOX, and then there's a proxy networks. For proxy networks, you have to actually install software to be able to run that. And for example, for Tor, there's a couple plugins for Firefox, I believe, where you can just instantly turn it on, turn it off. Web proxies, I mentioned, you don't have to install anything for those. You literally run them right from the browser. So yeah, those are the three. Let's see. Let's look at another thing. A great tool that some hackers use. So, you know, I just told you that pretty much all of these aren't secure. You know, they'll find out what you're doing because there's always those malicious users that could be on there. There's the risk of those people being on there sniffing and kind of looking over your shoulder, seeing what you're doing. So what do the most, you know, elite, the best hackers out there, what do they do to cover up their traffic, to kind of mask where they're coming from, and at the same time stay as anonymous as possible without anyone snooping over their shoulder? A lot of times, what these people do is actually first compromise lots of these machines. First, they take over these machines, and then they turn them into little tunnel computers where they can use a program like Netcat, and they could basically set up little listen on all of these. Basically, what they do is just set up a giant proxy and tunnel their data through a bunch of different computers that they took over themselves. Even better, what some of these better hackers do, especially the ones that really want to stay anonymous, is that they set up these computers, they take over these computers in different countries. So they can go through, you know, Iran, then back to China, then back to the United States, and then maybe then to the actual destination that they're trying to hack. And this way, not only do they cover up their IPs with different machines and IP addresses, but they also have all these governments that they're going through. So now, if let's say the United States wants to find out, you know, get some information on this hacker, not only do they have to go and figure out what computers he visited, but they don't have access to those computers until they can get through the governments. And a lot of times, they go through governments that, you know, we aren't friendly with. So that makes another barrier. But yeah, a tool, like I mentioned, is Netcat that you can use to tunnel through a bunch of computers. Also, Metasploit has a pivot feature where you can take over a few different machines, and then you can pivot your traffic through these machines. So take a look at that as well. And that's about it for proxies. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you learned something new. Just go out there and put some of these things you learned to use. Try out some web proxies. Try out some open proxies. Try out some proxy networks. See which ones you like. How they work. Go into details. Figure out how exactly they do work and how they're run. And then try out Netcat and maybe even Metasploit, the pivot feature. And that's it for this week's main topic. The hacker website of the week is internetopenurla.blogspot.com. And I'm really excited about this website and what these guys are doing. And he sent me an email. I believe his name is Kurt. Yeah, Kurt. Kurt and Jamie. And he wrote, I just started a blog with another guy. Our goal is to teach reverse engineering by example. We have started with a series of introductions to dynamic and static analysis. After the introductions are done, we are going to take a live sample from the wild each month. One of us is going to use static analysis, one will use a dynamic analysis, and show the step-by-step directions of how we did it with screenshots. The hope is to get people the information they need to start doing malware analysis. We feel that a lot of people keep this information to themselves, and those that do release information tend to keep things very high level that beginners cannot follow. So, I'm really excited about this. Really great information, and I hope they keep it up, and I expect them to. And I'll add a link to the website as well, so check them out. Once again, internetopenurla.blogspot.com, and I'll have a link in the show notes as well. If you have any links, any hacker websites, security websites that you feel are great and you want to share with other people, please feel free to send me an email at comments@mrcracker.com, and I would love to, you know, mention it on the show. I've already received a bunch of great websites, and I will be featuring those in upcoming podcasts. That is it for episode 26 of the CrackerCast podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to email me comments@mrcracker.com. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/mrcracker or my YouTube channel, my Facebook group, on my blog on the right-hand side, as well as an opt-in box for my newsletter on the right-hand side of the website, where if you sign up, you will receive a weekly newsletter with the week's news. So that is it. I'll see you in a couple weeks.